Good morning. Welcome to Lakeside Church's online worship service. I'm Christian Becker, and I welcome you today in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here. This is the new reality for church right now. As my good friend Tom Julian said, the essence of the church never changes, but the expression of the church must constantly change. You know what that means? That means that sometimes we have to change our methods in the way we do church. For many, this is a new way to gather as believers in Christ. But you know what? We can still claim Jesus' promise that where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Jesus wants to meet with you today, and he will meet your need. Now, as I mentioned last time, if you go by the church building, you'll see this sign on the door. It says, "Due to the virus health concerns, meetings in this facility are suspended until further notice." And then it says to go check our Facebook page and our website for updates. But folks, we are still Lakeside Church. Please email me through the website or call if you have a prayer request. We love you all. We miss seeing you. Just remember, this situation will not last. But while it does, remember to stay in touch with each other and pray for our leaders. Pray for those that are ill, our community, for our church family. You know, the Bible reminds us. It says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Listen to this slightly different take on the song, "Blessed Be Your Name," and I hope it will minister to you as it did to me.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name, your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Oh, you give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Always.
Would you join me as we go to God in prayer? Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are Lord of all. Father, I pray right now for our president, for our governors, for all in authority. Pray for wisdom for them, that you'll help them to know how to lead in this difficult situation. I pray that you give them wisdom beyond their own. Pray for protection for the doctors and the nurses on the front lines of healthcare treating those that are ill. I pray for healing for those that are sick, and grace for those that are grieving and have had to give up loved ones. Lord, we pray for peace, peace in our world, the peace of Jerusalem, but especially, Lord, for peace in our hearts. We ask that you would meet with us today. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. While we're unable to meet together, I want to thank those of you who continue to support Lakeside Church with the Lord's tithes and your offerings. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 26, "Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'Now I bring the first fruits of all that you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household.'" You know, as pastor, I love the tradition our church has in singing the doxology as we present our gifts to the Lord. It's a wonderful reminder that God is our provider. Feel free to sing along. Before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me as we briefly talk again to the God of the Word? Father in heaven, we come to you today as needy people. We need you. Lord, I pray that may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Give us ears to hear your voice. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, do you always have someone that you can always count on? Someone who will never let you down? They're always there for you. If they tell you they'll do something, they do it. If they can't, they call and tell you. I wonder, do you have at least one person like that? What about two or three or four? The key word here is always. Because you know a person like that is hard to find. People want to do right, don't they? They have good intentions, but they don't always do it. That reminds me of when I was a store manager in Burlington, New Jersey, at the Burlington Center Mall, and I once hired a man to help with our stock room and our furniture delivery. First, I asked him to shelve a new shipment. He looked at the stack of boxes, he looked at the shelves, and he announced, "It won't fit. I can't do it." I had to convince him it was his job to make it fit. And then a customer from Atlantic City needed delivery. Atlantic City was about an hour's drive from Burlington, New Jersey, and this was before Google Maps and GPS, so I got directions in a map, and I told him to call me if he needed help. Several hours later, he showed up at the store, and he hadn't delivered the furniture. Why? He said he couldn't find the house. And I found that I couldn't depend on it. You know, finding someone you can count on is difficult. Finding someone you can always count on is almost impossible. And when you do, it's a wonderful thing. Now listen to me, folks. You can always count on Jesus Christ because he is the only one who will never let you down. And today we're going to look at two of the four things that Jesus Christ will always do for you. There are four. We're going to look at two this week and two next week. We find them in the Gospel of John, the New Testament of the Bible, chapter 21. What we're going to look at happened soon after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. Now, if you remember, if you were with us last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we talked about this. What if Christ had not risen? And we saw that since Jesus has risen, faith in Christ brings forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And for the Christian, we saw that death is not the final word. Christ's resurrection guarantees that those who put their trust in him will go to heaven when they die. And I encourage you to go to the website and listen to it if you missed it. Now, the amazing truth of the Bible is that you can know God through Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps you already believe in the resurrection of Christ. Many of us claim him as our Savior and Lord. And so my question for you is this: what do you do now? What is next? Or do we just say, well, goodbye, Jesus, I'll see you around? You know, what's next was also the question I'm sure that Jesus' disciples faced after the resurrection. Jesus had shown himself to the 11 disciples in the upper room. You remember Judas had hanged himself, so there were 11. Jesus also appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. What was the next step? What were they to do now? Well, you know, what comes next has to do with the four things that Jesus will always do for you. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, these four things are from the four statements of Jesus that you will see there in chapter 21 of the Gospel of John in red. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to look at two this week and two next time. Now, the first thing that Jesus the Christ will always do for you is that Jesus will remind you of what he said. Jesus will remind you of what he said. Let's look at what the disciples did in John 21, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to be using the English Standard Version of the Bible. The Bible says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. Now here we see that seven of the 12 disciples were together. Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He arose from the dead. Well, now what? Peter's answer was, I'm going fishing. Now, guys, if you like to fish, here's a biblical precedent for going fishing. If your wife bugs you about fishing with your buddies, show her this. In fact, they went fishing and they met Jesus there. Wow, you know what? That'll preach if you're a fisherman. Now, why did they go fishing? They'd been with Jesus. They'd followed him. They'd listened to his preaching for 3 years. They saw many of the miracles. Their needs were probably met from gifts given to Jesus by people who followed him, so they didn't have to work. But now that Jesus' ministry was over, they went back to doing what they knew to do. They were fishermen. They had to make a living. Some of them may have had families to support. But you know, I think it might be simpler than that. When they didn't know what to do, they went back to what they knew. Think about that. When they didn't know what to do, they went back to what they knew. But sometimes, that's not a good thing. You know what, folks? If our hands aren't busy doing what God wants us to do, and we go back to what we used to do, we may find ourselves doing things we shouldn't be doing. You know, fishing can be wonderful and relaxing, but if you're supposed to be doing something else, fishing can hijack your life. And one day you'll realize that your life didn't make a difference for eternity. All you did was fish. Now consider Jesus' reminder to them in verse 5. He said, did you catch anything? Now, what was Jesus reminding them about? Maybe you remember that back at the beginning, back when Jesus called them to follow him, four of them were called from the fishing business. They were professionals. Jesus saw them and he said, come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of what? Fishers of men. So Jesus called them away from a life of fishing. He changed their career, and this is the first record of them fishing for fish since that day. So here's a principle. If Jesus brings you out of something, be careful about going back into it. If Jesus brings you out of something, be careful about going back into it. You know, the amazing thing is that they fished all night and they caught nothing. Now, you got to remember, these guys were professionals. Do you think that maybe God was sending them a message? I wonder how long Jesus stood there on the shore. It doesn't say. But just imagine if he was there listening to them ranting and raving. Man, I can't believe we didn't catch a thing all night. But what did Jesus call them to do? He didn't call them to be fishers of fish. He called them to be fishers of what? Fishers of men. He gave them a new job and a new job description. And when he calls to them in verse 5 here, look at what he says. He says, friends, haven't you caught any fish? Now, he's Jesus. He knew they didn't have any fish. And he's gently reminding them, you know what, guys? I didn't call you to go back to the lake and go fishing. I called you to go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel. You see, Jesus will always remind us of what he said. Let me ask you this. What is Jesus' reminder to you today? One way you hear Jesus is for you to put yourself with other Christians, godly people that you respect. And I hope that when this health crisis is over, that you will be back in church. Another way to hear Jesus' reminders is for you to read your Bible. That's something you can do now. God's Holy Spirit takes that word of God and reminds you when you need to hear it. Do you remember Jesus said in John chapter 24, he said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have said to you. What has God called Christians to do today? We call it the Great Commission. For Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel about him. It's not about what you want to do or what I want to do. And the path that God has put you on is the path that will help you complete your mission. You don't have to go far away to begin obeying the Great Commission. You can start where you are, on your computer, Facebook, on the phone, family members. Now, back when we were in school, this time of year, I would be having discussions with students. The Friday before Easter. Everybody knows it's called Good Friday, but I'd ask them, well, why is it called Good Friday? We'd have a discussion. We'd talk about that. You know, when you begin doing what God calls you to do, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. There's many unknowns. You'll have to trust God. You know what that's called? It's called faith. Sometimes you'll wonder if you're making the biggest mistake of your life. Let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience. When God called me to finish my ministry training, it took more than a year before I got the message. First, I lost my job, and then I couldn't find another job. I was unemployed for almost a year, and I wondered what God was doing, and I prayed. I prayed a lot. I tried everything I could think of, and when I got to the end of my list, there it was. Go finish graduate school. You see, folks, God had called me to preach. I had pastored 3 churches, but then I went into retail, and I found success there. But Jesus had to remind me to trust him and do what he asked me to do. And he did that through people he put around me. And let me tell you, Jesus will do the same for you. But he'll always remind you of what he said. So make sure you know what he said. Remember, Jesus asked the disciples if they caught any fish. And what did they say? They said, no. Sometimes we're so busy or distracted with life, even religious activity, that when we hear Jesus, we miss what he's telling us. He'll speak to you through events, through problems you're going through his word, the Bible, and through other Christians. But you need to be in a place where you can hear him. So the first thing we see here is that Jesus will always remind you of what he said. The second thing that Jesus will always do for you is that Jesus will give you good advice. Jesus will give you good advice. The Bible says in verse 6 of John 21, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Folks, you and I always need God's guidance. I don't know how sharp you are or how much you think you've got it all together, but you always need God's guidance. You can't figure out on your own what God will tell you. You must ask for help. And many times you need to put yourself around other believers who know you, especially when you get in the fog of life and you can't see for yourself and you can't hear for yourself and you don't know what God is trying to say to you. That's why it's so important to be a part of the same fellowship of Christians on a regular basis. And I'm not just talking about attending worship services. You need to be part of a smaller group where you can get to know other Christians and they can get to know you. Something like an adult Bible fellowship class or a home Bible study. It isn't just for Bible knowledge, it's also for fellowship with other Christians, people you build bridges to. And then when there's a problem or a crisis, you have friends, brothers and sisters in Christ to whom you can pour out your heart. And they'll pray with you and believe with you and encourage you. And God can use them to direct you. That's how I understood I needed to finish graduate school, through godly people that I'd built bridges with. Folks, without God's help, most of what we do is wasted effort and leads to failure. What did Jesus say? He said, apart from me, you can do what? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can you hear the gentleness in Jesus' voice when he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Notice that there's no correction, no belittling, no giving them a hard time about being out there fishing in the first place. What does he do? He meets them where they are, and he gives them guidance. You know, Jesus will do the same for you. He will always give you good advice. It may not be the advice you want to hear, but it will be what you need to hear. What kind of advice has Jesus already given us? Well, here's some advice he's already given us in the Bible. When you feel weak and you can't go on, and you feel like you're powerless against the forces working on your life, and you feel like all is lost and there's no one to help you, and you feel like nobody cares and there's no way for you to make it through your situation, then God says to you, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Do you know what that means? That means that when you and I are weak, he is strong for us. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Jesus also said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. He doesn't want to leave us. Jesus says he will never leave us or forsake us if you're his child. He says, if you stay close to me, I'll stay close to you. That's good advice, folks, especially when you feel like life is going nowhere. Maybe you've met a roadblock or a brick wall, and he says, he'll be with me if I stay with him. Jesus tells us, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. People say, well, I've already asked God for advice. I've already asked him what to do. I'm tired of asking. Well, maybe if you ask him one more time, that'll be the breakthrough that you need. Okay, Pastor, I'll ask him. God, will you please help me? Nope, that didn't work. Well, maybe just once more. We need to wait for God's timing. If we will hold on to the reality of faith, faith says, I will believe even though I can't see, I can't hear, I cannot understand, but I'm going to stay the course because God says if I do, he's going to stay with me. That's what faith says. Now, some people would say, well, that's crazy. That's a bunch of baloney. I need some proof. Folks, listen, sometimes the proof comes after we walk the walk, not before. We all go through dark places in life where we feel God is far away. The only way to go through those places is on faith. And guess what? When I come out of that darkness, he's right there with me. And he shows me that he has never left me. He's never forsaken me. In fact, he reminds me, I've been there all along. Listen, Jesus will always give you good advice. Let's look back at John chapter 21 and verse 7. The Bible says that disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. Folks, Peter couldn't wait to get to Jesus. When they landed, there was the Lord with a fire burning and with some fish on it and some bread. You see, Jesus was there to meet the need they had. You know, often we need to be reminded of the same thing over and over before we finally get it. Sometimes we're looking for some kind of new revelation from God, but we don't need to hear something new. We need to be reminded of what we already know but aren't doing. Stay the course. Do the right thing. Read the Bible. Pray. Be in fellowship with other Christians. Serve. It's not that difficult. We just need to do it. Maybe you'd say, "Oh, Jesus, I'm having a tough time in life." What does he say? Stay the course. Do the right thing. Read the Bible. Pray. Serve. Trust me. Believe in me. Be in fellowship with other believers. And then Monday comes and your life seems like it's falling apart. "I don't know what to do. God, what do I do? What do I do?" And he says, "Well, you can read the Bible and pray, trust me, serve, fellowship with other believers." That pretty much covers it. Folks, it's not new. We just need to do it. Well, we've seen today that Jesus' ministry didn't end with his resurrection. And it doesn't end when you're born again and experience Easter in your heart either. Remember what Jesus will always do for you. He'll continue to remind you of what he said, and he will give you good advice. Next time, we'll look at the last two things in this passage that Jesus will do for you. Now, I can hear someone say, "Well, Pastor, this isn't really new. I've heard this before." Okay. What have you done about it? What have you done about it? What's the next step that God is waiting for you to take? Will you take that step? Is he waiting for you to trust him for the first time? To admit that you're a sinner? To trust Jesus to save you and confess him as your Lord? We say, "It's scary, I know." But he'll never let you down. Folks, God is faithful. He's not going to lose his reputation on you or me. Christian friend, are you at a crossroads in life? Is God asking you to maybe trust him for something beyond what you ever imagined? Start believing that Jesus will do these two things for you. He will show up. Is your next step to move closer to him? Is it to begin some new ministry here? Is God calling you to follow him somewhere else, maybe away from family and friends, to a new place of ministry or to a new job? Whatever it is, Jesus will never let you down. I want you to remember this. Your decision to obey God today will set the course for the rest of your life. Will you trust him today for something maybe that you think is impossible? If Jesus will always do those two things for you, then what are you willing to do for him? Let me ask you again, if Jesus will always do those two things for you, then what are you willing to do for him? Will you believe that he'll meet you at your point of need today, in that place of chaos maybe that you find yourself this morning? Because he will meet you there. Now, let's just push pause for a moment, and then I'll close in prayer. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ today and you want to start one, you know you need him, you want him in your life to do those things, then tell God. It's called prayer when we talk to God. Put your trust in him today to save you. Say, "Well, how do I do that?" It's very simple. If you will admit to God that you're a sinner, that you need help, that you're not trusting in yourself anymore, and you believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord, that he died for you, and call on him today to save you, he will. It doesn't matter how bad your life is. You can come to Jesus as you are, and Jesus will meet you there. Christian friend, let me ask you a question. Do you want to recommit your life to Christ today? Maybe you know things need to change. You haven't been obeying the Lord, and you hear him calling you to trust him in a new way. You're serious about living for him and obeying him. You've made a decision today. Then now in your heart, tell God about your decision. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray today that your people will be able to let go of things in their lives that are holding them back, that they'll begin to read your word daily and talk to you and ask you to open their eyes and see how you want them to live. I pray that today will be a day of transformation. Thank you for your patience and your purpose in our lives. Lord, we want to live for you. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that there's a call of God in your life, that he wants to use you to touch other lives for eternity? And tell God that right now in prayer. Tell him that you're willing to serve. Lord, please bring to Jesus those who are responding to your call in their life. Point them to where they need to be. For I ask this in Jesus' name. And amen. If you just decided to follow Jesus closer, you know who you are. If you don't think you made any decision, let me remind you that every one of us just decided today to either follow closer to Christ or to remain at a distance. Both of those are a decision. I like to close with a song that I hope that you will make your prayer, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. And Lord willing, I'll see you back here next week. Now listen to the Bible. It's great for your soul.